Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Survivor specialists Alexa and McKenna are back. It has been, I'm not sure how long since you and I got to podcast together.
I mean, probably 43, and I wasn't officially a specialist. Like, I was just doing Patreon stuff.
Like, yeah, you were available, but like the greater public didn't know you as well. Yeah. So it's super cool to be back on with you. McKenna and I did a whole series together at one point. Yes. So make sure to check that out if you have some free time. But Phil is unavailable tonight. I was unavailable to recap last week. Spoiler, I will be unavailable next week. So Phil and I are a little off kilter right now, but we're so happy to have an official specialist like McKenna to join us for a recap. So McKenna, it's great to see you. What's going on?
I'm excited to be back on the main show, but as every Thursday, John and I are doing the Survivor Rewind, where we watch this episode and relate it to past Survivor episodes. And then over on the Patreon, we deep dive an episode that we talked about in the Rewind that best relates to this episode. So we watched the premiere of Micronesia for this premiere. Because we have the little bit of returning player aspect, the quit
situation. So, a quit's a quit.
So yeah, it's a good time over there with John and I. And then Celestina and I are recapping The Amazing Race. So if you're watching this season of The Amazing Race, if you're not, it's really good. So you should be watching the season of The Amazing Race. We are recapping that as well over on the Patreon. So become a patron.
It is a great time to be a patron and a specialist and to be a fan of CBS TV shows. So yes. Really great time. Are you liking the 90 minutes for Amazing Race? I feel like for who we've talked to so far, including a winner of the Amazing Race, said 90 minutes is too long, but it seems like you're really enjoying it.
I think it could be an hour. There are things that I'm like, this is running a little long, but I just like that old Amazing Race is back. We have airport shenanigans again. We're not resetting everybody. It's not 15 minute increments. It's like when they touch the mat is when they leave. The minute span is when they leave. So we have teams leaving within a minute of each other and not like these staggered times. So it just feels very pre-COVID Amazing Race, and we're getting back to what it was. So I like it. Can it be a little long? Yes, but also I'm watching it not live because, you know, I have to podcast.
That's what I'm going to do right now.
And so it's an hour for me still.
Right. Fast could go on like 1.2 speed.
Yeah, exactly. No commercials. So.
So nice. I'm trying to be so, and I don't even have to be that cognizant because I am so happy with 90 minute episodes going back to Survivor. Mm-hmm. And the like 1.5 times I've even considered like, this is a lot of talking. I like don't even let my brain get there because I would so much rather have this than the opposite problem when you and I are like, so why did Brando get voted out? I think it's really nice. And tonight, we didn't have a challenge until 8:45, 8:42. Mm-hmm. So there was a like 3 commercial breaks worth of just camp life, which yeah. I liked. What are you thinking about 90 minute episodes, the whole shebang?
I like 90 minute episodes because it gives time for the frou-frou stuff that they want to add, like the journeys, the exile islands, the edge of extinctions, like
very frou-frou.
That would be like I like it for that because if they're going to keep adding certain things that are not like main show related, then we have the time to go there and spend time there and like get people's thoughts from that rather than just like rushing right off because we got a whole monologue of Austin wanting a sandwich and getting revenge for the sandwiches. There are times where I think it's a little long that they should shift a challenge or a journey, whatever, a little bit further and have talking after a challenge where I want a little bit of a break from this run on. But other than that, I love the 90-minute episodes.
Yeah, I think it would have been cool to see how Kelly and Jay sold their journey. I always think it's cool to see how everyone talks about the journey, especially one like this where they all had to get into alignment. Poor Austin was not aligned.
He's gonna have to hit the beach running at the merge to be like, we were supposed to drag coconuts, but did not.
Kelly or Jay must go. I don't care who. This is his villain origin story. This is how Austin goes on to become the biggest villain to win. I'm with him. I would have taken the sandwich.
I was the same thing.
Even close-minded. You agree?
Yeah. The amulet just isn't that good of a power, in my opinion, because it's tied to two other people. Where now you're a threat or a target to two other people, it's never going to be an alliance.
Right. And it was interesting because they all had to make the decision in front of each other too, which I thought was a refreshing spin on what the journey has been, especially because there was conflict. Poor Kelly, again, was stuck in the middle. And you knew which way she wanted to go pretty much the whole time.
Yeah.
But the amulet, you should not be allied with the people, because one extra vote among three people who are not aligned. we didn't have the situation like we did with Brandon and the first journey. They never really did the get to know you thing.
Yeah.
And we know that Austin and Jay are not aligned and Kelly's never met them. So I think for all three of them to cross pinkies, you have to sell it, but I don't think there's a chance that they work together, especially within the context of this blue versus red thing that's going on.
No, exactly. And once Austin told Drew was like, so we're getting out Kelly and Jay.
Exactly. The sandwiches did look, honestly, the sandwiches looked fine, but I was eating a bowl of popcorn. So I was like, I'm not awesome. I'm not starving right now. So I understand that. But I also appreciated that this wasn't a lose your vote kind of situation, because I think, especially when someone's going to tribal, it just makes things really messy. And this was a clean vote, albeit messy in its own right, because Brando just kind of he
shot himself.
Swung too hard. He shot himself in the foot.
Yeah, exactly. I'm one to avoid getting advantages on things like a journey or something like that. So if there's an option to not, that's the one I choose, because that's just such a target.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to try and either make up a lie that could come out. So I think they should have gone with the sandwiches, but I like Austin's approach of telling an ally, and then, Emily having it, the option, do we tell Emily? Do we not? What do we do about her to try and get her on the side? Because, Brando's trying to throw Drew under the bus. It was a lot of chaos that we could understand because we have the 90 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was fun to see, we actually watched the conversation between Brando and Drew, and then we got to see what everyone was talking about it. So it really wasn't he said, she said on our end. We saw exactly how it went.
Yeah.
Do you think Austin showing Emily his amulet, do you think that was what tipped her? Or do you think she was already sort of leaning that way?
From last episode, I thought she was still leaning Drew and Austin. And then to this episode when she was like, oh, Drew's lying. That's weird. She was already that feels weird to me. I'm upset now that Drew is lying because I wanted to vote with them. Now I'm voting with Brando and Kendra. She seemed upset to want to vote with Brando.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. Because I think last episode, it seemed like she was all in on Drew and Austin. And then this episode, she said, I'm feeling closer to Brando and Kendra. But I think the missing piece was that Brando and Kendra weren't that close. So it's a lot harder to sell that. And then especially because Austin and Drew could say, we still have Julie and Dee, Like, but we've got
to have the other two. Like, Bello is so tight, all of them, slash, yeah. Like, not really Keturah and Bruce, but, like,
they, against their will.
They're spat. Like, Reba are, Jay Maya and Sifu are just, like, not in their plans. So, yeah. Like, that's a difference where Emily is, like, 100% above at least two Reba members,
mm-hmm.
which then she's now splitting the pairs of Austin and Drew and Dee and Julie, which would be great too. So that's a great spot for her.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Emily going with Drew and Austin, I think opens a lot more doors.
Yeah. And I think at the end of the day, people, it's like, you always hear the argument, like, people always vote for the person at the end who they like more. Mm-hmm. I think Emily relates more to Drew and Austin. I mm-hmm. think, even though Brando and Drew had probably the closest, like, personal connection with all of the things I wasn't understanding about their Pokemon Go conversation. I played Pokemon Go, like, 5 years ago, and I understood none of that.
I think it went into more other things than just Pokemon Go. I think it went into, like, other video games as well, because, like, that went beyond me as well.
I loved the, there have been a lot of good long cuts, like, when Keturah mm-hmm. was complaining about Bruce yep. and Brando talking about Pokemon. It's really cool. But also, I think what has been a very refreshing theme throughout the season is, I'll say, like, the Reba specifically, their now brutal honesty, because Brando, I think, made the smart move of being like, why don't we get together? And Drew's like, nah. Like,
that like, yeah, doesn't that was happen. Wild.
That was crazy. And I think that shows how confident Drew was, because that, like, if you do that to the wrong person, you're going to get voted out.
The crazy thing is, like, when survivors come out of Survivor, they say, always say yes to things. Like,
always say yes and then apologize later.
Yeah. And Drew is just like, nah.
Like, literally, no. Just left him on red. I actually didn't, like, hear the exact wording that he said, but it was just like, okay, there. That's that. And it happened in front of Emily.
Yeah, Emily was just in the background of this entire conversation where Brando's like, yeah, we're two nerds. Like, I think we can do it. Also, the BS of the nerds never make it to the end. I'm like, okay.
Nerds are everywhere. It's right.
All right, David Wright, Cochran. Like, we can, like, name a whole bunch of these nerds that have gone to close to Final Tribal Council.
I completely agree. I think also that word on Survivor means something probably so different than in, I don't know, in society. Mm-hmm. I feel like, I don't know, Survivor Twitter would say that everyone on this cast is a nerd just right. because they're a super fan. But I like, kind of like with Kane in previous seasons and like what Drew and Brando were talking about, like, Kendra's not going to get in on that, you know?
Yeah. If you're actively having hours long conversation on Pokemon, you're a nerd. Like, mm-hmm. they're Kendra talking,
it's in the definition.
Kendra talking about astrology. I don't know.
In a different way. Maybe like
in a different way, but like the stereotypical nerd is like video games and all that jazz.
100%. Yes, Andy, I just mentioned Angelina Jolie essentially with that with that Kane name drop. Speaking of Kane name drops, let's move over to the Lulu tribe. Yeah. Bruce and Keturah haven't changed. I don't know when this is going to die.
I just don't think it will die. They might have to be forced to work together now that the merge is next episode.
Yeah. And they still have never voted. There's still actually there aren't many people now. It's only
old Bello on Lulu.
Yeah. Just those four have never voted yet.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point, the way it's shaping up is they're sort of stuck together. And then the only people floating around are Caleb and Emily, who I think are going to get back together and run it.
Uh-huh.
And then Sifu and Jay, who I don't think are going to align.
No. I have a feeling Keturah is going to want to go against Bruce at the merge vote. And that's going to, like, blow up Bello. And that's what we're going to see is, like, a Bello decline. Because people, like, maybe Kendra wants to save Keturah. Kelly realizes Keturah is kind of like a sinking ship. So it's like, I don't know what is in store for Bello now that they're all intact at the merge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess
all without Brando.
Yeah, all minus Brando. Where do you who are you, team Bruce or team Katara, to be clear?
Bruce is on one of my draft teams, but Katara's on a different one, and I'm like,
can't have too many fantasy teams.
I was like, I don't know. I do think that Katara is right, but she's digging herself too much in a hole. So
sure, I agree.
Stand by Katara, but I want to.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because we're getting, like, Katara is the main commenter here, but other people are saying the same thing. And mm-hmm. we still had, poor Bruce, I don't know if it's poor Bruce or not, we still had these Bruce-isms this episode too. So it's been five episodes.
The whole push present scene where Katara is just like, yeah, I want a present for pushing out a baby. And he's just like, isn't that the child?
I've never heard this before. Have you heard of this?
I've heard of a push present.
Okay, this could be a generational thing. I mean, I'd love that. That sounds fantastic. Do you know what kind? What is it? To what extent do you get a gift?
Like it could be like, you know, oh, we're just going to go away to an Airbnb or something. And it's like a nice getaway, like a baby moon kind of situation could also be a push present. Or like, maybe like, you know, I don't know. It depends on your partner. Like if they want jewelry or if they want, you know, some snacks. Like,
the list of options are limitless. I'll take some snacks. That's great. Okay, I'm going to have to research this. I might be the only person on earth who doesn't know what that is. I don't know if the phrasing is for me, but that is for a podcast that isn't this one. that felt like the perfect example of their feud because mm-hmm. it was the two of them and other people were around, but no one, maybe others had a very strong opinion on if one should receive a push present or not, but it was only them getting into it. And it was Bruce, like, kind of not speaking for the group, but sort of having that, like, that leader dominant voice of, like, yeah,
that's dumb. Why?
Yeah, here's the way it is. And another theme in this episode is that everyone is hungry. And so I think all niceties are just out the window.
Yeah. I mean, Bruce, we got a confessional from Caleb saying, you know, Bruce is also demanding and telling us to do things.
Oh yeah, Caleb's doing everything.
Yeah, Caleb, go do this, do that, do this, do that. And Caleb's trying to like keep a good rapport with Bruce because he's the odd man out here on this tribe. But mm-hmm. like at the same time, he can feel Katara's pain, which now I'm like, man, are they going to side with Katara on this? But now it's a merge, so anything can happen. But I was confused on what Caleb meant by that confessional, if he was going with Katara or if he'd be more at the numbers.
Yeah, it's and then afterwards what Caleb said about trying to have these one-on-one conversations with everybody, it seems like between the past two episodes he did a very fantastic job of that. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of came to a head with saying that Kelly is the only one who I haven't created this relationship with, and then he gives her a little intel that's like kind of intel but not really, and we heard it from her perspective a little bit, but it seemed to have worked to an extent.
Yeah, it basically is just like, Sabaya went out with the idol from this island. Take with that as you will. Like,
yeah.
There's an idol here, most likely. Mm-hmm. And then Katara just goes looking for it. Because she was left alone at camp because other people are doing things. But she was also out alone getting crabs. Like, I don't know what that whole scene was about because they were like, oh, where's Katara? She's getting crabs. It's like, oh, then we'll just go somewhere else.
Were they idol hunting or were they just like trolling around?
I think they were just doing something. I don't think they were idol hunting. And then they caught her idol hunting and she was just like looking for mangoes.
Yeah. She was like looking for fruit. Like, really had to think about that.
My idol stick.
That is how I would lie. I cannot lie. I would have been exactly like that. That scene felt like something that someone who has played Survivor would understand so much more than you or I would, because I think there's like not much time when people are alone. Mm-hmm. So I think Katara was like, well, this is literally the only time that I can go do this. Mm-hmm. Cause I felt the same way as you. I was like, why this feels clunky.
Yeah. Because like what it's basically, we don't know the timing of when, because, well, before that we had Jake falling and passing out, then like, because they were about to go do things, Keturah went to Krabs, then she got back and everybody else was out and she was like, well, I'll look for an idol, then everyone was mysteriously back and it was confusing.
Yeah, definitely. But I think it like the purpose was to highlight that Keturah is also not in a perfect seat here either. Mm-hmm. I think Kelly is the nucleus, and she actually just lost her proclaims to us number one. So that's going to be pretty interesting too. Who is she going to find? Is it going to be Caleb now? Because her and Kendra were kind of close. I think she doesn't feel it with Keturah as much as she used to. And I don't know if she would put all of her faith in Bruce. So,
Or Jake either.
Yeah. And Jake is somewhat, I mean, let's go to him. He was the first flashback of the season. And I think, I mean, I was crying when I watched that. I thought that was really like elegantly done. I think it was, you know, it's a, it's something that's like talked about on and around Survivor, but really not as directly as we saw. And I thought that was really, really well done. And especially to hear from Jake how this inspired him to go on Survivor and why it's so important for him to stay there. It really, I thought it was very nice. And I hope he's proud of that.
It's also crazy that medical wasn't called, like, just by production, because this is the second time he's fallen and it almost looks like he's seized both times.
Yes. So I was watching with totally good. I was watching with someone who hasn't watched a ton of previous Survivor, and they were like, why wasn't medical called? And I feel like medical doesn't come in unless it is super necessary. And that is not to imply that this wasn't necessary, because to your point, these looked like different feints. That this looked different than, who was on Heroes, Healers, Hustlers who fainted? The rock climber.
Oh, Cole Metters.
Cole. That was not how he fainted. That was not how Lauren O'Connell fainted. It seemed very different. And it was secondary. This is the second time, like, separate from inhaling smoke, because it seems like inhaling smoke is like the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
Perhaps they did meet with him, but I want to be very clear. I have no medical degree or connection. It doesn't seem like, I don't know what they could have done.
Yeah. It's just like an evaluation. Luckily Kelly is a nurse, so she knows.
Yeah. She's spraying into action. Up,
and she's just like, all right, this could be, you know, a certain number of things. So like every time you get up, just like easy up.
Yeah, exactly. And he's not eating for 10. He hasn't eaten for 10 days as of everyone, but people have no idea of how their body is going to react to this. So it was really scary. And it's, you know, to Jake's point, he's participating great in challenges. It's happening sort of just like hanging out at camp. So it's really scary. I fear this is not the end of it, but I really hope that I'm wrong.
Well, we got like not a conclusion necessarily out of it, but the last time he fainted, it just was like, all right, he fainted, goodbye. This, we got like an actual scene out of it. So maybe he's like, all right, it's when I go from relaxation to working. So I have to work my way up from laying down to standing, to walking, to exercising, that kind of thing. So like when he's in there for the challenge, he's already up and moving and mobile. So he doesn't have that like rush of, oh my gosh, I'm now standing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think all turns out to be well, because Jake tweeted 4 hours ago, here's hoping I don't drop dead. So I'm thinking he's got a good attitude about wherever this nets out.
Yeah.
Hopefully this is the end of it. If not, I hope he wins. But yeah, I thought that was a very grounding scene, because we're seeing so much more camp life in general with these 90-minute episodes. And we're also seeing the scary part of it. I'm very curious how this would have come to be in a 60-minute episode. And I'm glad that we got to hear Jake's story.
Yeah, I just don't think we would have heard much of Jake's story. We probably would have gotten the abridged version of, like, I was overweight and I couldn't do Survivor before this and I lost all the weight and, you know, now I look well enough to be on Survivor and this happened. Like, it would be like just that short little clip and then we'd go right back into strategy.
Yeah, exactly. And not to shift gears too aggressively, but we did also get another flashback that involved Sean just getting buried, which, and I wasn't able to recap last week, so I didn't talk too much other than about Sean's quit. Mm-hmm. Where do you stand on the now two quits that we've had this season?
So I talked about this a little bit with John, where they, with the 90-minute episodes, this season is having it's giving us the satisfaction of watching Survivor, but also has that little twinge of these quits. But also I feel good walking away from the episodes, even though half of the boots had been quits. Though now watching the beginning of this episode, I am like peeved at Sean because he was like, I didn't vote for you, Sifu. Like playing the game before he's now leaving. Like that's a little...
You gotta pick a lane.
Yeah, that's a little pity. So,
yeah, I really liked Sean too. So that was a really surprising end for me. I'm not gonna I don't want to harp too much onto it, but it was definitely extremely disappointing. But to your point, and Dee's point of why couldn't you just quit?
Counsel and quit, like, don't blow up our games as you leave, like,
right, like, quit before tribal council. I think both quits happening, that was not a slip, that's just too just the word the way the words were two quits happening at tribal council and trying to weave them into the votes is what I found very frustrating. And like you just said, you chose to leave, you should not be impacting the game this way.
Yeah. One thing, if he was, well, I mean, he technically was voted out, but like if he was actually blindsided voted out, then it's like, Sifu didn't vote for you. So, you know.
Yeah. People always
that kind of thing.
Blow each other up on their way out. Yeah. But I think that's because they didn't want to go. They wanted to still play and wanted to leave their mark. And I think this really put D and them in a tough position. And I don't think this is going to be the end of it. Like, I think.
No, I mean,
they're going to, yeah.
Rima's going to throw herself under the bus. Like,
that was a choice. I love Julie and D were like, sign us up.
Yeah, you try and befriend Sifu, and then we might make a plan to get you out. So it's fine. And then D gets the heat taken off of her from voting, actually putting Sifu's name.
Yeah, I actually think it's a good idea. Like, I actually like it, but because it's creative. And I like, you know, Jay's putting herself out there, and I really like that. But I don't, it's unfortunate that I don't think she knows where she stands. And I don't think Dee and Julie are going to be telling her, at least maybe next week they will. But Dee and Julie were sort of married to her just because of how small this tribe was.
Yeah.
So if Dee was doing what Jay did, what Jay wanted to do, then I think people would feel a little more confident. But because we really don't know where Jay stands, except for apparently being on the bottom, throwing yourself under the bus is then a very, very bad decision.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So Sifu is burning the camp down. He's like, Who voted for me? It was, I'm sure the editors were laying it on thick for us, but it seemed like he was pretty pissed about that.
Yeah. And then he goes up to Jay Mayans, like, there's this move in Taekwondo or whatever. It's like, push your opponent, or I can't remember exactly. And
I know, I wrote this down.
And then just leaves. And Jay Maya's like, was that a threat? Did he think I voted for him? What is going on?
I know. And again, no one really gave her anything. And she tells us in a confessional, she's like, I'm sick of this, so I will offer myself up. I'm like, throw one of them under the bus.
Yeah, one of them who actually did it.
Yeah. And I don't think either of them owned up to her.
No, they nobody owned up to anything. And it's like, so we're not going to talk about the vote for D that Sifu didn't do. So it's like, if Julie lied or Jemiah lied and be like, yeah, I voted for D, mm-hmm. Sean would have had to been the Sifu vote.
Yeah.
But nobody's talking about the D vote either.
Yeah, because I think it seems like Sifu has a lot of tunnel vision on him, on his name getting written down, which I totally get. But if you take a step back, that, like, by that logic, either Jay or Julie voted for D, according to this, if you're going to buy that Sean voted for Sifu. So, like, try to dig into that a little bit, you know? It seems like kind of tunnel vision gameplay rather than, like, if you sit down and think about it, like, you can get to the bottom of this and make them squirm a little bit. They seemed like they were doing fine.
Also, John pointed out to me during the episode, Julie and Dee know that Austin has the Reba idol and they're on Reba Beach. Like,
yes.
Why do they think Sifu has an idol? Or just in case Sifu does?
Yeah, I think I saw that on Twitter too. I think maybe people are still thinking, like, maybe something's rehidden, maybe things came up on Journeys. I wouldn't put it past Survivor to have, like, two idols per beach, or maybe when, like, there's a beach switch. But that's a fair point. I'm curious how much they, like, believe that, because that is a fair point.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, with them pushing that Sifu could have an idol, it's like, but you know where the idol is from Reba.
Right. You could have taken it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But we actually did have an advantage played tonight in a weird way. Austin banked his vote to get his idol. So now can you remind me? His idol lasts two tribals now?
I thought it was until the merge, which is now. And then he can bank it another time and it'll last longer.
Okay. So what if he doesn't bank it and doesn't play it at the merge?
I think it's done.
Oh, okay. Got it. I know, that's a little complicated.
I think it was like, you can bank a vote and then once everybody's on the same beach, it's done. Or you can bank another vote and then it's an actual idol.
Got it. So he banked his vote and then immediately played Drew's goodwill advantage a la Caleb, or via Caleb, and got his vote back. So that was easy peasy. Yeah.
Inconspicuous. Nobody knows that he had to, or that he has this idol. So that was nice. I forgot even that he had, like, the option to bank his vote for the idol.
Yeah. And so now Drew and Austin are a real power couple, because there's also a safety without power, and there's this sad amulet that's not a sandwich between the two of them. So they're really sitting pretty, and that we haven't seen this, but that really could have impacted Emily as well. It's a lot easier to go with the group that's got a lot of firepower.
Yeah, I don't think they told her other than the amulet that they have things.
Yeah, that's the only thing we've seen.
Yeah. So one advantage is better than no advantages, especially if she doesn't choose the team with the advantage, like, then they'll just use it against her, kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. So we're at the merge. I actually didn't expect that. So
I didn't either.
I was like, oh gosh, how many people are left? But there's 13 people. So that means there might be a Exile Island situation, or wherever Erica and Roxroy went. Because it's 6 and 6. I cannot imagine the Hourglass is going to come back. I forget. Have they had a merge that didn't do an Hourglass? Or like a 13-person merge that didn't have an Hourglass situation? Someone in the comments tell us that.
Andy's here.
Yeah, he'll tell us.
Oh, 43.
Okay, and what happened?
Noelle sat out and chose a tribe.
That'd be fun. But yeah, I think how do you think this is going to fall? Because there's now one less Bello than there is Reba. We have Emily and Caleb, and then Sifu and Jay are just chilling.
I think we see Julie, Drew, Austin, Emily, Caleb form up. Maybe is like my thought. Mm-hmm. But with the earn the merge thing, this first vote is kind of like up in the air because you don't know who you're paired with.
Yeah, that's true. So depending on who they're paired with is who's in the most trouble. But yeah, I think this Bello tribe is in a lot of trouble. Like I don't fear for Kelly, but just the way that the situation that she's in right now, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Keturah and Bruce are two people that I don't know will have a ton of advocates. Yeah. And Kendra is just doing her thing.
And just blindsided by Emily and the...
She was shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was shocked. I hope she does. I love her. I really like her. I don't know what her long game is. But she and Jake had a good thing going. So she and Jake will be able to reconnect, which I think will be very good for both of them. Mm-hmm. So the Bello tribe still has something, but it's just not as meant. It's just not enough people right now. And I don't know, like maybe they'll go for Jay and Sifu, but I don't know if Jay and Sifu know how much on the bottom they are.
Yeah, Jay does not. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Based on her gameplay.
Yeah. Very true.
Yeah.
So who do you think's in a good position and who do you think's in a not so good position?
I mean, Drew has a safety without power. Austin has an idol. So that seems like pretty good for them because if something goes wonky, they can just be like, I'm out, bye.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm safe. So
I love the safety without power. I think it's such a good advantage.
I'm a fan of it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I think it feels a lot more level set now. And I really like the way that it's falling where Lulu is probably going to be a huge decision maker. And you got like two of the best Lulus to come out of that tribe. Yeah.
Overplay it. They have to like be calm and like go with the flow because then you come in like, you know, Sarah did in Kageyan and was out.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it helps that they have so much experience voting people out where Emily sat there tonight and supported aliens. The growth she has shown in the past month is beyond me. I thought that was such a good ad. I'm so happy they added that in. But I'm not being funny. I think that shows a lot of growth that whatever her opinion is on aliens, she kept her mouth shut on it.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just like, all right, I'm surrounded by more people who believe in aliens. I think that really showed a lot about how she's a good player. And I think we're seeing Caleb really thrive in a social situation. Mm-hmm. So I actually think the two of them are the best that they've been right now.
Yeah, I'm a big Emily fan and have been since John and I did the cast assessment over on the Patreon. And I was like, I think Emily is great. And then she hit episode one and I'm like, okay, I'm still going to root for you because I think you're great. Cause her like little snippet interview that I saw with her, I was like, she has great reads and I think she could do well. But then she like stumbled a little bit and I was like, okay. But then Caleb like picked her back up and like, let's keep going. So that was encouraging. And then now that she's in the swing position and not like able to be voted out next because they still need her to vote out Kendra if it wasn't a merge, but she's in a great position and I think will be in a great position.
Yeah, for sure. What else you got here? I can go through some props.
Go through some props.
Okay, so Keturah's mouth blurred. I don't remember if she's already done that or not. Emily had a background blurred mouth. So Jeff was like, Lulu wins immunity, and behind Jeff, Emily's mouth blurred. It was so good.
Right. Yeah, I saw that.
It was so funny. Emily and Kelly sat out. Kendra had the episode title, lot of worm content tonight. I am counting D. I say D cried. Oh, also Jake cried.
Yeah.
Jake cried. And nothing with Brando. Like, he didn't go home with an idol. Oh, I guess Brando went home with five votes or less.
Mm.
Brando less than five votes. So actually not too many this week for props.
So one thing that we didn't mention is the respectful scramble that happened.
Oh, yes. Very polite.
So this reminds... So I play live Survivor games, and this felt very live Survivor-esque because we all know, like, we're here to scramble. We're here to talk to everybody. So, like, let's go. And they weren't afraid to be like, all right, I'm going to talk to you first, and then I'll talk to you, then I'll talk to you. Like, we all know this is what's going down. So it felt very, like, LRG-esque and not, like, actual Survivor, because actual Survivor is the...
Right. And I think a lot of people now, like, play those games. So maybe it's become a self-fulfilling prophecy where everyone's playing these before they go out and play Survivor. That this is how they think the game goes. It's really interesting.
It's, yeah, it was crazy. But, like, with only four people in camp, like, what do you do? It's like you kind of have to be like, all right, so we're gonna scramble. I guess I'll talk to you.
Yeah, like, so anyways, let's go in this corner. Yeah, well, you two go talk somewhere else. Yeah, I agree. And I would love to know the definition of a respectful versus disrespectful scramble, because it felt like a scramble. Like, it was he said, and they just went back and forth and corroborated or lied. And it was great, but I was like, let's stop lying to ourselves. We're just scrambling.
Yeah, exactly. I think it started off respectful, and then Brando did his, like, no, I didn't say that. And Drew was like, yes, he did. And then Emily was like, ah.
The only thing that didn't happen that I thought was it was coming to a head, where Emily was going to sit with Brando and Drew and be like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And then I think Brando would have folded, but it seems like they figured it out because she ended up voting for Brando.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I liked that. I'm glad you brought that up, because I thought that was like, what do we get that here?
Respectful scramble.
Yeah. I am trying to think about anything else. Sifu's fake idol. I don't know about that.
Yeah, they are believing it somehow, some way.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like a pretty good fake idol, because all the idols look like that now.
Yeah. I'm just here for Austin on his revenge tour because of the sandwich.
I hope he wins.
Where he was like, I'm going to get revenge on these two because of the sandwich that I wanted. Like,
that felt very important. And this is third party information, so I need to, like, find this article and see how true it is. But apparently there's an interview with Jeff where, you know, they're like, what's the season going to be like? And he gives, like, a fairly generic breakdown mm-hmm. of for the season. And apparently Jeff said something along lines of, like, there's a huge turning point for a player. And I was like, it's the sandwiches. The sandwiches turn him into a super villain. And he votes out everyone just so he can get a tomato and cheese sandwich.
There was some meat in there.
Was there? I didn't see it.
Like, it was like probably turkey or ham or something. It's something light.
Kind of. Okay. I think if that was a bowl of piping hot wings, the whole thing would have changed.
Or pasta.
Like, yeah. I think she said she has made implications that she's vegetarian. So, like, some... a hot bowl of pasta with red sauce. Yeah. Or mm-hmm. like, or burgers and veggie burgers, or a plate of French fries. I would give up pretty much anything for that. So I think, not to say that those weren't enticing, because clearly they were, But I think if you're going to do it, you know,
a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it sounds like we're getting an auction. So maybe this was just a little taste. I hope those sandwiches come up at the auction.
Oh my God. It's the same sandwiches.
They're going to be on Ghost Island season two.
You know what? Yes. I'm here for the sandwiches returning on Ghost Island. They're actually an idol. You have to keep them from getting molded.
The three sandwiches are all an amulet. Oh. And they go the same way that all the amulets go.
All right. I can't wait for next season.
Someone email that to production. Someone email that to Jeff. Mm-hmm. All right. So Brando is the final pre-merge boot. We had a bumpy pre-merge.
Yeah.
I'm very interested to see how this merge goes. Despite the bumps in the road, I still think this is the best season of the new era so far, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I want most of the people who are remaining to win. So mm-hmm. that feels like a very good sign.
Yeah. Here's to no quits in the merge.
Cheers to that. You know, I mean, we can only hope.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's a good group remaining. Yeah. I don't see that, but who knows?
No, because we got like Kendra bouncing off the walls with energy, being like, I'm playing Survivor. I'm having a great time. And it's like, you're like, everyone else is just, oh, I have to lift my arm. Like,
I know.
Whoa, I'm so happy to be here, guys. Like, that was insane.
I know. Good for her. I don't know how she does it, but I think we could all use a little bit of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. I mean, we're at 45 minutes. If you don't have anything else, we can pitch our channel a little more. So Phil and I, although we are not recapping together for like a month at this point, Phil and I are going to be back Monday night at 7 p.m. with a first time to the podcast guest doing our merch predictions. We will be having Dwight Moore join us from Survivor Season 43. We're very excited to have him. That we were lucky enough to meet him at the Bryce and Wendell party, and he was lucky enough to be suckered into doing this podcast with us. So tune in Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern. We are going to work. We're going to talk to Dwight, power rank the remaining players at this merge question mark, whatever we call it these days. McKenna, remind us, for people who maybe weren't here at the beginning, what are you guys working on for the podcast?
So tomorrow, John and I will be live right here on this YouTube channel, usually around 7:30, 8 Eastern, 7:30/8, not 7:30.
It's not specific.
Doing the Survivor Rewind, watching in this episode, but relating it to past episodes. And then Friday over on the Patreon is where you can find our episode deep dive of some random episode in Survivor's past, which is really fun to just kind of look at it through a lens of one episode. Like last week we watched Blood versus Water, and that was like just enough cat.
it was all and nothing.
Yeah. So, we have a great time over there, as well as Celestina and I recapping The Amazing Race at some point, because Survivor revolves my life. So I focus on that and then go to
3 hours of content on Wednesdays. It's a lot.
So
All great stuff. Like McKenna said, become a patron. There's a lot of good stuff out there. Phil and I are going to be doing our Patreon podcast for $5 and $10 patrons Monday before we chat with Dwight. So if you are a patron, those will hit your inbox shortly afterwards. If you're not and you have FOMO, you should become a patron at patreon.com.
In the month of October, we're running short on time here because we want to get John to watch Jack and Jill live on the Discord.
Oh yeah, how's the status
for that?
We're gonna have to check that. Yeah, that
become a $20 patron. We just need 10 of you to do it in the month of October. So hopefully, we've already got that 10 mark, so John can be tortured watching Jack and Jill.
And if we have 10, let's get 10 more just to really twist the knife in it.
Yeah, rewatch.
Yeah, so watch it twice. Twice at one time every time we get done.
Yeah, perfect.
McKenna, thank you so much for hopping on in Phil's absence. It was great to chat with you. And we will see y'all soon.
Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
Ooh.
Well, I have to hit the button. I always forget to.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.